Can you talk a little bit about specifically the fields that you designed and the treatment that you gave to him?
So we, again, do not do any elective nodal radiation. We treat the disease that is there, that is PET-CT guided. So what we do is we outline what we call the gross tumor volume, the GTV. We always obtain a 4D CT scan at the time of simulation to measure any respiratory movement and account for that in a so-called ITV. Then we add a margin for microscopic extension, which is on the order of 7 to 8 millimeters, which is based on radiologic and pathologic correlative studies. And then we add a 5 millimeter margin for what we call setup error, just because no patient can lie perfectly still on the table. So those are our margin expansions. We, as I said, do not treat with elective nodal radiation fields. It's been shown that the risk of failing in nodes that are not initially involved when we take this approach is less than 10%. It's on the order of 5 to 7% when a patient is PET staged, and that is generally considered an acceptable risk, but in return to avoid significantly increased side effects, mostly esophagitis and pneumonitis, by treating smaller fields. In these cases, we always use an IMRT technique. It's not really possible to meet normal tissue constraints without an IMRT technique. We do daily 2D KV imaging to verify the setup positioning. We do weekly cone beam CTs to verify any marked soft tissue changes during the treatment that may require replanning or readjustment of the treatment fields. Luckily, that does not happen too often, but once in a while, we may have to adjust it. For instance, if there was a lung collapse or a pleural effusion or things that really could change the dosimetry. But in addition to that, it also just gives us a sense on how the tumor responds to the treatment and whether things are going as planned.
Could you talk a little bit about what happened as you treated him?
So he was doing remarkably well. We were actually a little bit nervous about his recent CABG that he was just recovering from, but he really tolerated the treatment remarkably well. He had some mild esophagitis towards the end of the 6 weeks. He did not develop pneumonitis, which is usually not happening that early on anyway. The main side effect during the treatment is really fatigue, esophagitis, skin irritation. And because of the esophagitis, oftentimes dehydration or decreased oral intake, which can further weaken the patient. But he did actually remarkably well with just a little bit of supportive medications to help with his swallowing.
In his situation, I don't know whether he actually is the kind of person who, asked you more detailed information, but with the conclusion of this treatment, what would you estimate his prognosis to be, his chance of developing recurrence, metastatic disease, and death? And can you talk a little bit about sort of the history of what's been going on to try to improve the outcome that preceded, this big trial with the durvalumab? What had been done up until that time? But how would you have seen his prognosis at that point, assuming, before we had this other new approach?
So for the last 20, 30 years, we've tried to make really inroads in locally advanced lung cancer with different radiation techniques. And I think what we've achieved the most is decreased side effects by shrinking the fields, by using more conformal radiation techniques, by avoiding organs at risk in a better way, and also defining better how much radiation organs at risk can take and how much we need to restrict them.